Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, you're the great I am. We thank you. You're here right now because you promised where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. And so we just push your hand. Lord, we just touch you right now. We touch your presence because it's tangible. And so, Lord, we seek your face because we can. Lord, you gave that invitation to us that was more than an invitation. It was actually a command to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to help in times of need. So, Lord, we just thank you for intimacy. We thank you for communion. We thank you for relationship with you. We thank you that you're real. Lord, and you're not looking for any one-way relationship. And you're not interested in any religion. You're interested in in the truth, in Woshua Yende, in the Father and Son, Father and Daughter, Bride and Bridegroom. And so, Lord, we're just honored to be here under the sound of heaven right now. And we just rejoice and we're so blessed to be a blessing together. So, Lord, we just say, keep coming, Holy Spirit. Touch everybody here. Let everyone have such an encounter with you this morning that we're never the same again. All God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we travel here, there, and wherever God wants us to go. Really, because of something that happened to us in 2003, basically, I got fed up, certainly fed up with church. It was very boring. I didn't want to do it anymore. And this is my testimony. If it offends you, I don't care because it's my testimony. You got your own testimony. Let your testimony offend me later. But right now, this is what happened to me. It's the truth. Hallelujah. And I woke up one Sunday morning and I was lying in bed and I said to my wife, Helen, I said, do we have to go to church this morning? And she said, well, of course we do. And I said, well, you know, I said, it's so boring and nothing ever happens. Do we really have to go? And she said, of course we have to go. I said, but they sing all the same songs and, you know, they bang out all the same sermons and nothing ever, it's not, you know, it's just, do we really have to go? She said, of course we do. I said, but it's a beautiful day. Maybe we could go and I really fancied going around a car boot sale or something, you know, a bit more exciting. And so I tried it one more time and I said, can we not go there? Are you sure we got to go to church today? She said, honey, of course we got to go to church today. You're the pastor. Well, you know, sometimes you don't realize this, but even the pastor's had enough, and even the pastor's bored, or even the pastor's fed up, or even the pastor. And so I decided, you know what, I could not find, this is my testimony, don't get offended, but everywhere I went, I could not find God in a local church of today. And we went to many. I'd go home and read my Bible, and I'd see signs and wonders and miracles and healings and great salvation. Then I'd go to church, and I'd go through the motions, and nothing ever happened. And really, the point came when a visitor came into the church one day, and it was in like a Brethren church setting, and they were doing their thing. I don't know if you've ever been to Brethren church, but they do their thing. We all do our thing, by the way. It's just different. They do their thing. And this guy just got up in the middle and walked out. And I wanted to get up and walk out as well, because I decided, you know, what is this? We got so lost in the traditions of man. And I, you know, this is when I read the Bible, whatever this is I'm in, it's not the Bible. This is not. And so I decided if God didn't go to church anymore, then I didn't want to go to church anymore. And maybe I'd find him in the car boot sale. Maybe I'd find him in Sainsbury's. Maybe I'd find him somewhere else. Because if he's not in here, he's got to be somewhere. Now, of course, you're all deeply theological. I can tell that already from standing here. And I can see the cogs turning and so on. But you know what? You know, God is he's omnipresent. That's what you're all thinking. So, you know, of course he's here. And he's there. And he's everywhere else as well. But I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. God being omnipresent is not the same as the manifest presence of God, by the way. God is here right now. He's also outside right now. He's in every house right now. He's in every dining room right now. He's in every kitchen right now, enjoying the fragrances of the Sunday roast being cooking. But you see, what I'm talking about is the manifest presence of God, where God suddenly reveals himself, just reveals himself. And in that moment, you have an encounter. You have an intimacy with the king that maybe they didn't even get in the church down the road. Maybe they're singing all the hymns, they're doing all this stuff, and yet God, omnipresent, yes, manifest presence, nothing happened. And you see, I'm finding more and more people that are getting saved, and the church hasn't even been involved. And what has encouraged me by seeing you guys this morning so far is I'm thinking, you know what? That they're into the kingdom stuff. That's you guys. As I saw that, I thought that's really great that you're praying for people and you're coming up and you're giving testimonies that this happened, that happened. And so the Lord has given me a word just for you. I never preached this before. Okay. I don't do sermons. I don't like them. I'm just being honest. Okay. People get offended when I say sermons. I think we should kick sermons out of the church and never have another one. That's just me. You obviously enjoyed them because you all sat there still tranced out. You know, so in expectation of the sermon to begin, 3 points, you know, here I go. So there was a Baptist pastor that got run over. He immediately divided into 3 parts. Anyway, there's just a little joke there just to see who's awake. But I probably offended just about everybody in the room. So good, I'm on form. That's good news. Hallelujah. Say he's on form. but here's the thing. When I talk about sermons, and I'm anti-sermons, okay, I don't like them. And I don't like them because, number one, they're boring. Number two, they're boring. And number three, I can't remember, I fell asleep, but I think they were boring. Because you see, what a sermon really is it's a man or a woman preparing something. I'm not quite sure what, but they're preparing something to deliver to some people, you know, at the next gig, as I call it. And they pull out the commentaries and they do all their studying and they try and work it all out. And then they come out and they bore us. I call them the sermonators, you know, because they always come back, you know. Remember the Terminator, and I'll be back. And that Sermonator, boy, does he ever come back, you know. So what happened to me is, I haven't even told you that yet, but what happened as a result of what happened to me, which I haven't told you yet, and I might tell you later, but I'll probably forget, but is that I stopped banging out sermons because I had such an encounter with the presence of God. It all ended. And for years, I would spend 10, 15 hours preparing just one sermon to speak for 25, 35 minutes. And all the commentaries and all the stuff in my study, and, you know, and Helen used to knock on the door. It was a rule in the house, you know. I still quite like that one. But anyway, so she wouldn't just walk into my study because I could be in the middle of trying to work all this stuff out. And, you know, that interruption was not acceptable because religion can rule like that, you know. Well, all that had gone out the window, and I don't even have a study anymore. I don't even need a study anymore. Because what happened to me in 2003 was a radical thing, and I suddenly could hear God. And that might sound absolutely crazy, but I could actually hear him. And so if you want to know how much preparation I put into me being here right now this morning, the answer is absolutely none at all. Okay? I'm very busy, and I haven't got time to be preparing stuff that you don't need to be hearing. Hello? Because the Bible says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Okay, or if you're in America, fillet. But that's just, I know. But you see, do we actually believe the word of God? That's why I'm saying. You guys, I've noticed, believe the word of God. You're at the very least having a go, which is way more than many people are doing up and down the UK right now. You're having a go. And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And a lot of people have tried it. Nothing happened, so they gave up. So they're just doing their sermons, they're singing, whatever they want to do. But they've given up on the kingdom stuff because it didn't work. And you guys, you're going for it. And what I've got for you is a word this morning, straight from the scripture. It's not a sermon. Do you understand? The word doesn't necessarily is a sermon. Do you understand that? If I'm going to sit down under somebody's ministry, I want to hear God through them. Do you understand? You've got a guy come who's meant to be a prophet. You want to hear what God is saying for you right here, right now. Hand on heart, I can promise you, wherever that's gone, I can promise you, I've never preached this message anywhere before. And these things go out on Facebook Live and that, wherever we go in the world. And so that's a guarantee. I've never preached this message before. What you're going to hear, I've got through you, through God. He spoke to me, and this is for you guys, okay? And he's telling me this right now. I can hear him as I'm stood here, that he has struck a match, as it were. And that you guys, you're holding a match, and you've got fire. You're ignited by the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you're going to do something here together. And that's why I'm saying you don't want sermons, you want real. You don't want something that was prepared ages ago. You want what God is saying now. See, the Bible says this in Revelation. It says, hallelujah, what's it say? I know it says something, I've read it. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But it says the Spirit is speaking to the churches right now. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. And you see, if I'm going to stand here like I'm standing here right now, I believe I'm opening my mouth and he's filling it, and you're going to get a now word because he's given this to you now. I've never proclaimed it, and we've been all over the place and done all different things, but I don't repeat words. Now, of course, I grew up in the church, and I know full well that's what the pastors normally do. They go away every so often to give them a break, and they take that sermon that they've been banging out everywhere. There's people in itinerant ministries that travel all over the world with one sermon. Did you know that? And then they wait to the following year, and they write another one, and they take. And if you hear them, you're like, whoa, he's really good. So would I be if I'd done that one sermon for 10,000 times, you know what I mean? It's like, he knows it. But look, what I'm trying to say is this: God has a word specifically for you right now, this morning. It's not a sermon. Don't need a sermon. See, people get offended when I say you don't need a sermon. Seriously, religious people go mental over it because they really want a sermon. Because it's part of their comfort zone. You understand that? Something might hurt, but they do it anyway because it's part of their rut that they're in. You guys, there's a freedom land in here. I'm seeing that right now. As I looked over there, I just saw an airplane land. I just saw that. There's an airplane landing. Hallelujah. Because God is going to, we'll show you, and something's going to happen. And so I need you to start just relaxing because, you know, we've got to receive like little children. You know, when the disciples were trying to get the little children away from Jesus because, like, you know, he's Jesus, he's the man. And Jesus said, look, unless you come like these little children, it's not going to happen for you because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So we got to come as children. So I mess around a lot. Hallelujah. I can't help it, by the way. That's the way he made me. And, you know, and I stand and speak the truth, and some people like it, some people are not so keen. But it doesn't matter because we have to be faithful to who we are in Christ and fulfill the call and plan of God's purpose on each one of our lives. And so I'm talking about the word this morning. So understand that if you're offended because I said it came out and said something against sermons, I'm not talking about the word of God. I'm talking about something that man or woman takes out of the word of God, packages it how they want to package it, with their limitations. Do you understand that? With their limitations of what they believe, their theology, their doctrines, and they package it, and they see it. It's like we was in a church just a little while ago, just visited for the Sunday. No one knew who we were. We came in and sat at the back. And that's fine. They didn't need to know us. But the guy preaching actually started the trip himself up, and he said about Jesus healing. He said, actually, I don't even know if Jesus does heal today or not. He said, I don't know about that one. You know, and I leant over to Helen and said, I'm leaving now. Now, in my younger day, I'd have got up in front of everyone and had a word with him. But, you know, I'm getting older now, so I've mellowed. If you're offended by me today, you should have seen me 20 years ago. I'm serious. But as I said, and we're leaving now. So we got up and we left. But I hope you can understand what I'm trying to get you to see. That we need to hear what heaven is saying for us for today. Not what Matthew Henry said for a commentary many, many years. Do you understand? Do you understand the difference? And you see, how many people would agree that since 1904 Welsh Revival, that kind of went all through where it went, and, you know, even Azusa Street came out of it and so on, that since that time, the UK has just plummeted into more and more sin and darkness, and nobody agrees, but it's true. For the benefit of Facebook Live, there are people here, just because they can only see me and they'll wonder, you know. So. But do you understand the country under sermons? Because that's what happened since 1904 Welsh Revival, is it petered out. We just got left with sermons. So under sermons, what has been the fruit of sermons? Well, you see, first of all, people have got saved. Hello, do you understand? Because God is sovereign. He can reach in anytime, anywhere and touch somebody through a sermon or through a queue in a post office or anything. He doesn't even have to use somebody else. He could just give a revelation to somebody how real he is, and suddenly they give their life to him. No other man was even involved. He can send angels. He can do anything. I heard a testimony just the other day of a guy who had in Ireland had a heart attack. And they took him into the hospital, and they needed to do some sort of stent thing to him. And the surgeon came and said to him, look, you need to understand this. When I put this stent in, I've got to put this stent inside you. If that artery opens, you will instantly die. What do you want me to do? So this guy was an elderly guy, and he was a Christian, and he said, He said, well, I don't really have much choice, he said, because I'm in this predicament. He said, but can I pray for your hands? I'm a Christian. Can I pray for your hands before you operate on me? And this surgeon was up for it. And he said, of course you can. So the guy took his hands and cupped his hands around them, and he prayed for him. At that moment, the surgeon had an encounter with God. Not the guy praying, but the surgeon. He saw an angel come into the very room that that this guy was in. Do you understand? This was so real to this guy that this surgeon immediately gave his life to the Lord. Do you get this? And then when the nurse stood next to the surgeon, heard from the surgeon, who she's known for many years and respects greatly, what he'd just seen happen, she gave her life to the Lord as well. Do you understand? They then did the procedure. The guy is perfectly fine. I'm trying to get you to see God is in everything. He's over everything. It's not about going through religious motions. It's not about order. Just be who you are. Something has started in this place. So it's you guys. Something has started. God has done. I see it now, that match. He's struck the match and he's given it to you. And you might be starting out small in different areas. That doesn't matter. What matters is you've started. Do you understand? You know, I got log burners at home and that. And I like to light a big fire. But it always starts when I'm looking at that thing lighting. I'm waiting for it, and all of a sudden there's a little spark. And then another little spark. And then all of a sudden the thing's glowing orange. And then up comes the flame. And then the whole thing spreads, bursts into fire. And ultimately, I've got a whole bundle of glowing amber coals. And it produces the heat, and it does what it's created to do. But it just started with that initial spark. And God has handed this fellowship, he's handed you that match. I'm seeing it in open vision right now, that's why I'm saying it. And you got the match. Now what you got to do is keep running and don't lose your focus. Keep doing what you're doing and don't give up. And here's the thing, one of the most important things, every testimony matters and every testimony should result into an absolute Holy Ghost party. Do you understand? Because you can get to the point where you see somebody healed and then you hear somebody else got healed and it just becomes so kind of normal that it loses its supernatural edge to you. Does that make sense? Like, well, it's just another one healed. Well, they always get healed. And we need to keep that buzz. We need to keep that celebration. We need to keep that expectancy that something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Something's going to happen. So under just sermons after the 1904 Welsh Revival, the UK has plunged into more and more sin, the depths. All the stuff we see in society now, all the things that are legalized that should never have been legalized, all happened while the church was banging out sermons. Do you understand what I'm saying now? But if they were giving out now words, I don't believe we'd ever be in the mess we're in right now. Okay, because we need to be hearing God for this moment, hearing God for what he's saying right now to this congregation, to these people, to this group. Something's going to happen here. Yeah, hallelujah. God, he's struck that match. He's lighting this fire. we'll show you in the end. Hallelujah. I've got to be careful. So I don't want to go somewhere I don't want to go. Hallelujah. You have no clue what I'm talking about. I appreciate that. That was a me moment. Hallelujah. Because sometimes things happen to me, even physically, when I'm stood up, and it doesn't make me look very good. Hallelujah. And I'm a professional. And, you know, so there are moments I like to just back down for a minute and say, Lord, what do you want to do? Hallelujah. Because it could all get drastically messed up very quickly. And I don't know. I don't know, whatever. Hallelujah. Yeah. I prayed for one woman in a meeting, and she was so overcome with the presence of God. We got this on video. So overcome with the presence of God that she shook in the chair. I mean, she shook violently in the chair under the power of the Holy Ghost. Should I be telling you this? I don't know. Some of you look like I shouldn't be telling you this. So it shook under the power of the Holy Ghost. And anyway, we left that meeting. And a year later, we went back to that same church. And they called a lady up. We knew nothing about this, do you understand? That's another thing you need to understand for yourselves. There's things that are going to happen. Signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. You're going to know absolutely nothing about. And yet it was because of your faithfulness. It's because you laid hands on it. It's because you prayed. It's because you declared. And there was great fruit. And you may never know until one day you get to heaven. Do you understand? Or you, it might be a year or several years or several decades before you actually somebody comes up and says, hey, you did this or you said that and this happened to me. So we're in this meeting. We go back a year later. They called a lady up, give her a microphone, and she gives a testimony. She said, that night when you came and you prayed for me, she said, I shook. Of course, I remembered her because it doesn't happen like that to everybody. She said, for one whole year, I did not stop shaking under the power of God. So we got all these testimonies on video. I like to collect them all. Hallelujah. And I always say this in case something does happen to you today. Okay, I just to get it out there. It'll be on video and that, so I'm covered. You know, I take no responsibility and I offer no refunds. Okay, just put that out there in case something drastic happens to you. How many people would like something drastic to happen to you, where God does something to you that you just never recover again? And that's our testimony of what happened back in 2003, what God did to us during those few months, and we never, ever recovered. And I honestly felt that at some point he would leave, you know, that manifest presence would go, that what I was experiencing would stop, that something was going to end. And then somebody more learned than me at the time came up and said, Robert, he said, this will never stop. He'll never leave you. And here we are all these years further on from 2003. I don't know how many years that is now. I'm not a mathematician. But it's never stopped for a moment. I constantly can feel his presence. Constantly. And hearing him is very, very easy because of what he did to me. And so, you know, I can prophesy over everybody in here. And maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll see what God wants to do. But I need to get you to understand the difference between a sermon and the difference between a now word. And that a sermon isn't even necessarily the word of the Lord for that moment. Do you understand? If it came via Matthew Henry and all the commentaries and that, who even says it's for today? Now, God is sovereign. He can do anything at any moment. And yes, he could move through a Matthew Henry commentary. I'm not dishing the bloke just because he had more hair than me. Some of you haven't seen the photo. But you know, God's sovereignty messes up any conclusions that we tend to draw because he's not restricted like we are. But you have to understand that when any man or any woman's putting something together, they're doing it within the confines of their theology, of their beliefs. So if you get a pastor who doesn't believe Jesus heals today and he comes to the scripture and he's got to preach on the scripture, you know, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, he's what he's going to deliver isn't going to be the truth. Understand? Because he's saying it doesn't happen. There's a whole theology out of this happened only to launch the church. This happened just for the apostles at the time. Kickstart the thing. Anyway, whatever. Man, I'm trying to get you to see that the word is different. God is speaking right now to each and every one of us and it'll change your life. Radically change your life. Bible talks about those in the last days. They're going to do great exploits for him. How many people want to be involved in that? God, I did great exploits for you because of you, but I did them for you. That we believed. You know what? I can say this now. You know, we pastored for over 22 years and we've been delivered. But anyway, hey, that's my testimony. You got your own. But here's the thing. You'll see. I did some crazy things. And do you know what the crazy things I did? It all come down to one thing. I believed him. I was in meetings where I'd call somebody forward in front of everybody else because I believed him. And I told everybody what's about to happen because I believed him. And I set up a demonstration. I like to do demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And I've never yet had a time where he didn't come through because the Holy Spirit confirms the preaching of the word. Did you hear that? If you preach on healing, you better be praying for the sick afterwards because you're going to get fruit because the Holy Spirit confirms the preaching of the word. If you're going to preach on God wanting to bless you, you want to speak on prosperity, and that offends a lot of the church. I saw this grumpy old so-and-so who was preaching one day. You ever been in his church? Has he ever been to yours? Grumpy old thing, right? And he was going, oh, he said, all this prosperity. We don't need this prosperity. Then I found out afterwards he had two houses. So I went up to him, hallelujah, and I said to him, you don't believe in prosperity? No, yeah, we got more than we need. I said, great. I said, why don't you give me your houses and your cars and you can live in a tent in the garden? I'll allow you to stay on the property. But, you know, there's a lot of stupid people saying a lot of stupid things. Hello, but we're about the truth. You need to hear him. Hear him. I've been in so many meetings where, you know, everyone's had to go prophesying. We went and visited a church, and the whole congregation started prophesying on this woman. She was in bits. She was crying. Something tragic had happened to her. So I hear all this stuff, and I hear what the Lord says. And it made it even more difficult when I heard what the Lord was saying, because everything everyone else had prophesied was wrong. And as they were telling her, she was getting, you know, in a right state. Now, hang on a second. What's the purpose of prophecy? It is to edify, to build out. And she was going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. So at the end, it wasn't my church, nothing to do with me, but I just had this word burning, and I had to deliver it to her. And I went up to her, and I said, look, I said, I'm sorry, I said, but this is the truth. And this is what the Lord is saying to you right now. And I told her. And I tell you what, she was delivered in front of me. I saw the weight come off. I saw the depression come. I saw everything come off of her. Because just that one word from God, from the throne room, that now word, it carries your healing. It carries your deliverance. Come on, he's the way, the truth, and the life. When you get one instruction from him, when you hear one thing from him, everything changes. And so, none of us are perfect, by the way, because I don't want this to come across in any way as arrogance. It's just testimony of truth, which can sometimes sound like arrogance. You know, we a few years ago, we didn't know whether to sell our house or not. And Helen said, look, you know, we should pray about this. And I'm not really in the mood for that, you know. Just being honest. Anyone ever been like that where you weren't in the mood for prayer? Any truthful people in here? You know, and the church having a prayer meeting. Flip, do I have to go? Anyone ever felt like that? No, I was the pastor. Hello? Do I really have to go and pray with them? Flaming wallies. Do you understand? The same people praying the same prayers week after week after week. Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever changes. As pastor in the church once, there was a guy in there and he was loaded. I mean, he was loaded. Seriously loaded. He didn't have any children, and so he was even more loaded. He worked in the stock exchange in London, and he'd retired now, and he was minted. Massive house and all that. Do I have a problem with that? No, I don't. Some people have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. Hallelujah. God, listen, God will bless you. God wants to bless you. You know, there's too many people in the churches that don't have anything. Do you understand? That's not God's will for you. He says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that you will not be able to contain it. Anyone hear that? You hear it? Anyone going once, going twice? You got to grab these things. You got to grab these things. You got to grab these things. When it's a sermon, it don't mean much. When it's an hour word, you better grab it because it's alive. It's for that moment. You got to say, Lord, I've received that. Okay, Lord, I've received that. Hallelujah. No, too late now. I got it. Hallelujah. You got to move fast. You understand? You got to move fast. Come on. God is not messing around. Do you understand? This season is happening. It's a happening season. If you see something. So we got all these things. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where we are. I don't know what's happening. The more in the muddle I get, the better it is for you. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Because our problem is there's so much of us, there's not enough of him. Do you see, even when we do churches, we've got our agendas, we've got our order of services and all that. I wreck every order of service that I'm ever given because I don't even look at it. Because I've not come to do your order of service, whoever you are. I've come to bring the word of the Lord for now so you'll be changed and blessed and never the same again. Anyway, whatever. Hallelujah. That is, you know. Sometimes I call it one-way tennis. Ever heard of one-way tennis? It's just like you're up here and you're serving, whoosh, and the ball don't come back. You got another one here, whoosh, and it still don't come back. You're like, flip. And like, you know, 2 hours later, whoosh, and you leave the meeting and you're like, oh, they were hard work. Lord, we don't want to be hard work. Listen, we want to learn to receive. Come on, we want to learn to receive. Everything you've got for me, Lord, I'll receive it right now in Jesus' name. Listen, I put it on Facebook this morning because I heard the Lord say it. Hallelujah. What was it? I've forgotten it, but it was good. So I posted it. So you should become friends with me on Facebook. It'll bless you. Hallelujah. As he gives me stuff, I just put it out there. Now, it was saying about the season, whatever season you're in. See, some people just think I'm in a really bad season. You ever heard people say, oh, you're not in a good season. You can't wait for the next season. And the Lord spoke to me today. He said, look, whatever season you're in, doesn't matter. All that matters is you find me in that season. That's an L word. Got it today. You understand? Doesn't matter what season you're in. All that matters is you find me in that season. You can be walking through a valley of the shadow of death. Listen, people panic, scream, ah! But it says it's a shadow. It's like a fear thing. It's a shadow. It's not even the real thing. It's a shadow. But we tend to get paralyzed with fear, and we set up camp, and we stay there. When we're meant to just walk through that thing. See, do you understand? Does that help clarify that word? Whatever season we're in, that's okay, as long as we find him in the season. If we're in a season, we're going through a route through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, that's what it is. But just find him in there, because he's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's with you even in the valley of the shadow of death. He's there. Hello. Come on, your deliverance is already done. He did it 2,000 years ago. Understand that? We can walk in the blessings. We can walk in the truth. God, deliver us from church. Come on, because we've made it so that this is what we believe here. I don't give a stuff what you believe here. Do you understand that? I know Jesus. Hallelujah. We're meant to believe what he believes. If the church today in the UK could just believe what he believes. Hallelujah. We're going to instant revival. You understand? Immediate revival. Anyway. I don't want to get preaching you all happy or anything. But we need to get to a point we believe what he believes. We preach what he preaches. We stand as he stands. We declare what he declares. God, deliver us from theology. Hallelujah. God, I just ask you right now. I had an open vision looking over at you. So, God, I just ask you right now that you literally take the tent pegs of my theology and you pull them out the ground. Period. Hallelujah. See, I don't want him to extend them. As I don't want any restriction on me. I want him to pull the tent pegs of my theology out the ground. Bring that baby crashing down, and now I'm free like he's free. See, I think that even though, you know, it's typical UK here and everyone's like very reserved, hallelujah, because that's what happens in the UK, we're very reserved people, but there are fire starters in here. It's happening. And what the Lord wants you to see, okay, is don't let go of this. Keep doing what you're doing. Something started. Something's happened. Now fan into flame. Do you understand? Fan it into flame. Something great's going to happen. Never be the same again. Anyway, so I can't tell the time when I'm preaching, by the way. Average message goes 5 hours. Just so you know, okay? At least I'm honest with people. Can't tell the time at all. It means nothing to me. It's one of the things he did to me in 2003. He took the clock out. Because it's about him, and he's going to do what he's going to do in that moment. And you're either in that moment or you're not in that moment. If you're in that moment, you're going to get your socks blessed off. If you're not in that moment, you miss it. Hallelujah. It's just the way it is. But Lord's given me this word, and it makes sense now, having seen you guys. Okay? It makes sense. And I'm going to bring that to you in a minute. This is just an introduction. But something's gonna. You see, you can't rush God. You just gotta hang on. Something's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen. God is gonna do something with you. You see, you've gone as far as you can go with your restrictions. Some people, do you understand? We go as far as we can go with our restrictions. Then we need an encounter where God removes our restrictions so we can go on even further. I want to be free indeed. I want to be so free. See, I'm capable of offending just about any congregation set before me because of my freedom is a lot more than most. But God, I don't care. I want to be freer. Come on. Free indeed. That's what we should all be aiming for. I want to be free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. Anything less is not his will for me. Did you hear that? I pray we can hear that. Anything less is not his will for us. We've got to be free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm just hearing this. There's good things coming. God's speaking right now. There is good things coming. There are good things coming to you. There are good things coming to you. I told you, sir, what's you're feeling this morning is because really what's happening right now. The word great is written over you. At an angle, just like this, is great. That's great things coming to you. Great things come to you. You just got to believe it. Hallelujah. You got to believe it. When you believe it, you receive it. Do you understand? The moment I believe it, I receive it. Hallelujah. Why? I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I think I'll ask the audience. I'm going to phone a friend. God, take half of it away. Give me 50-50. I'll have a guess. But But God, you got to receive this, grab it, and whoosh, oh, yenda, yenda. I looked over you. I know you was baptized in the sea last week, but I just saw this wave. There is a wave. God has got a wave coming for you. It's got your name on it. Just a wave is going to wash all that. I just opened vision as soon as I turned around and saw you. There is a wave. It hasn't hit you yet. You see, you're going somewhere right now. Something's happening to you, and it's good, and it's exciting, and things, you know, things are changing. But there is a wave. It's going to come in from this side, so it's going to come in from your left. There is a wave coming, and it's going to hit you, and it's going to hit you so hard, it's going to cause you to rise up as it goes under you, and you're just going to go to a whole new level in him, and he's going to take you places. You're going to travel. You're going to be absolutely blown away by this, but I'm seeing an open vision of all flags of different nations. You're going to travel. God says, surely I'm going to use you. Now, don't lose your focus. Keep the temperature hot, because that's what God wants. Hot or cold. Isn't that amazing when Jesus said that there in Revelation? He wants us hot or cold. If we're lukewarm, he'll vomit us out of his mouth. And that's what's happened to the church in the UK. We just become lukewarm. That's why nothing much happens. Understand that? Oh, people get offended. Tough. Get over it. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus, I mean, come on, the way they treated Jesus, he could got offended every 10 seconds, couldn't he? He wasn't bothered about offense. He was like, take the gate as well. Because he was there for truth. He was there for who he is. He had to be true to himself, true to his calling, true to his identity. You see, I tell people this wherever I go, it is a good thing for you to be you. You understand that? God made a you because he wanted a you. Understand that? There's not another you. There'll never be another you. God made you like you so you could do what he sent you here to do. Doesn't need to be a spare you because you're going to live forever. Any problem, trouble, or trial that's come your way will ultimately pass behind you because you're eternal and those things are not. Any sickness, disease, even if it kills you, it will still pass behind you because you're eternal and that thing's not. Do you understand? I don't know if I'm preaching too good for you or what's going on. There's something that God is stirring him. I just have an open vision right there between the sound desk and the lady I'm looking at there at the back. And I see an old-fashioned bowl, a wooden spoon, and it's a cake mix in it. God is stirring you up. He just told me. That's why he sent me here. Stir it up. That's what he's telling me. Stir it up. Stir it up. You got something here. God wants to stir it up. Something's going to happen. Understand? God, something's going to happen. Listen, when God sends me places, something happens. Testimony after testimony after testimony. Something's going to happen. I'm here because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I just saw an open vision of chains, great big chains, and the links just gave way. Something's going to happen. He's unlocking stuff in here right now. You're never going to be the same again. Something's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. You just have to believe it. Anyway, I'm starting to get on what he gave me now. Hallelujah. But something's going to happen. When he did what he did to us in 2003, do you know what? Everybody noticed. Even Helen's parents said to her, what's happened to Robert? Do you understand? It was so profound. It was so life-changing. It was so beyond that even when I just tried to carry on or whatever, people knew this. What's happened to him? Something's happened to him. I used to turn up at the church and they were all religious. Do you understand that? It was a religious church. Very, very religious. Hymn, prayer, sandwich, organ, uncomfortable pews. They had everything. I'd been there maybe a couple of weeks, and I'd been going after God, not just for a couple of weeks, but the church I pastored before that. I've been going after God. From that moment, I decided I'm going to go after God and see if I can find him. And some people want to correct me and go, you mean he found you? No, shut it. This is my testimony. I went after him, and I found him. Bible says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So I went after him, and I found him because he's there and he's available. And he wants to be found. But it takes a whole heart to go after him on a mission. Was I perfect during them days? Of course I wasn't. But he knows our heart. I put it this way, Peter got really angry once when they arrested Jesus and he's there in the garden. He takes out his sword and he cuts the soldier's ear off. How many people remember that? How many people didn't hear it? I'll speak up. He's lost half an ear. But you see, Jesus wasn't bothered by Peter's mistake. I just wanted to, because look, God is not worried about you and I making mistakes. He knows we'll make mistakes. You and I can get cut up about it. But he's cut off anyway. But he's not that worried about it. Because when Peter took out his sword and he cut the soldier's ear off, and Jesus is like, so he bends down, picks up the ear, puts it back on. It's not a big deal for him. Do you see what? And he really wasn't that bothered. Jesus really wasn't that bothered about it. Do you know why? He didn't turn around and condemn Peter and tell him, oh, you've done it now. No. Why? Because he knew the heart of Peter. His intentions were perfectly good. He was looking out for his Jesus. If only more of us were looking out for our Jesus, we'd be more radical. But we'd make more mistakes. Hello? But he doesn't mind. Because he can use our mistakes to forward his kingdom here. Best thing to do is have a go. Just have a go. You never know what you can do until you... I spent like 20 odd years after that first encounter happened. And just experimenting. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But just experimenting. It was so much fun. I was in this church, very religious, impress sandwich, pews, woodworms, splinters, everything. Right? Organ that didn't work, all the usual thing, all the kit you need to do church, you know. And I had this radical encounter. And I go to the church and I can't function anymore. I mean, I'm so overcome with the presence. You see, I had to learn to be able to function all over again with what he did to me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do anything. I just get to the church, turn up and lay on the floor. Do you understand? I couldn't do anything. And they were paying me. They get nothing. It's like, just done, gone, finished, it's over. And I thought I was finished, but God had other ideas. Do you understand that? God, it doesn't matter what your mind is telling you right now. All that matters is the mind of Christ. We need to be able to hear him so that we can hear what he's going to do. So I want to bring you this scripture right now. And I wrote this down and put it on my iPad this morning. It's just a scripture. I don't have notes, but here's a scripture. If it opens up. And it's Mark 11. And I just want to bring this to you. Because it's exactly where you guys are at, whether you know it or not. And it's exactly God is your biggest cheerleader. And he's giving you this word this morning. Because he wants to cheer you on into the great exploits. He's going to use you. Radically use you. Radically use you. See, so much has happened to me. And I've really told you nothing of it at all. But so much has happened to me. You know, I've heard the audible voice of God on two occasions. You know, people, I got fed up with people saying things at the front. You know, when I stepped into these things and all the encounters and that. And then other people would come into the church and preach. And they'd say things like, you know, well, I was sat down at home and an angel came into the room. And right there and then, I don't know about you, I wanted to stop everything, put the guy on pause, go up to him and interview him. Say, hang on a minute, what do you mean an angel came into the room? I had a million questions. Anyone ever heard anything like that and wondered? What do you mean an angel came into the room? I mean, what's that mean? What did he look like? What was he wearing? Was it a he? Was it a she? Is there such a thing? You know, I had a million questions. And he just flippantly said, you know, I was sat in a room and an angel came into the room. And I watched him and he did this and did. And you see, as time went by, I got to know some of these people. And found out they never saw an angel at all. Not like I was sat there, completely inexperienced in these things, believing the guy that said he saw an angel. He had the impression of an angel. And I'm like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Anyway, whatever. But I'm trying to get you to see. We can't go there now. No, there's no time. Hallelujah. But there is. Whoosh, yende, yende. Now, you see, I've heard his audible voice on two occasions. I'm not just talking about the voice that I hear all the time. I'm talking about he spoke to me. Incredible. And it says in the Psalms that the voice of God thunders. And I want you to know, it honestly does. I have never heard a voice like that before. It was the most outstanding, incredible voice. It does not exist on this planet. It was the voice of God that thunders, and I've heard it. And it happened to me on two occasions with several years in between. Both at night. Both I just got into bed and turned the light off. I was wide awake, and he spoke to me. Why is I telling you that? I don't know. But anyway, whatever. So I got this word for you. And here it is, okay? It's found in Mark 11. And I'll read it to you because, you know, I'm generous. But Mark 11. And we'll begin at verse 12, okay? Kelly's eye and one little duck, for those that are into that kind of thing. Verse 12. Now, the next day, when Jesus had come from Bethany, he was hungry. You know, I really like that verse. You know, I mean, where he came from, whatever, but that he was hungry. Hello. Anyone else ever been hungry? Hello. Anyone getting hungry? You're going to have such an appetite by the time we finish, I promise you. But isn't it great that Jesus, I love that, the humanity of Christ. He was hungry. It's okay to be hungry, as long as you get a meal afterwards and cure yourself. Right. Verse 13, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, Jesus went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples were all there and they heard it. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at this passage. It's incredibly confusing. I mean, you know, why? I mean, it's like Jesus, the fig tree killer. I mean, what is that about? Had the fig tree done anything wrong? No. Had the fig tree fouled in some way? I don't think so. Because the scripture bothers to explain the fact that it wasn't meant to have any figs on it yet. Because it was not the season for it to have any figs yet. How many people see it's confusing? If you want to Google it, you'll get confusion at another level. But it's just like putting in your medical condition. You know what you think your symptoms are. And you whack them in and suddenly you're like, I need a funeral plan. It's the same. You type in trying to find out on Google, what does that mean? It just come up and it just, crazies are all on there. But I need you to understand, why did he kill a perfectly good fig tree? It's not that it should have had fruit and it didn't or any of that, because it actually tells us it wasn't in season to produce in its fruit. And I've been talking to the Lord about this since he gave it to me, which was less than 24 hours ago. And I'm like, Lord, why did you kill the tree? I mean, you know, I'm not really a gardener. I don't really care. I'm not bothered by it. You've not offended me. You know, I just want to know, why did you kill it? And can I do that sort of thing? Like, you know, it's everybody's left. But, you know, can I go around killing trees like willy-nilly? You know, can I just see some bush I don't like and go, ooh, die, you know? So it's an interesting one. But this is for you guys, okay? This is for you guys. This is the message the Lord's got for you. And it's because of where you're at, okay? And it's the Lord is going to take your hand this morning and lead you to where you're going. Understand? He's meeting where you're at right now, and he's going to lead you to where you're going. So this is what happened. So the disciples were there. They witnessed this. They heard this. And then Jesus goes off into the temple courts there, and he throws over a few tables. I mean, it appears like he had the ump that day, doesn't it? You know, so I think it's called righteous anger, but there you go. And he takes all the religious stuff, and he throws it all, and he gets there because Father's house is to be called a house of prayer, not a marketplace. Anyway, we then pick this same scripture up a little bit further down in verse 20. And it says, now, in the morning, everyone say the morning, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? I mean, why did you fig tree killer, you? I mean, why did you do that? Do you not like garden centers? I mean, I find that, you know, a lot of them now serve food. Have you noticed that? They've all got coffee shops and that to survive, and they're very expensive. So maybe Jesus, obviously being a forerunner, knew that was coming and thought he'd take a tree out. Now, I don't know. But there's. So I need you to see this because it's where you're at. This is what the Lord wants you to know. I think there's two things here for you this morning. The first one is this. When you've got situation, circumstances, and you may not be in a prayer meeting, but your situation, circumstances, or you're in a prayer meeting and you know there's a problem, trouble, one of the gang, one of the family, they need prayer, they got their toes are gone black, you know, that kind of thing. You need something to happen. This is what the Lord wants you to know. First thing, when you speak right into that situation, you will immediately see absolutely no change whatsoever most of the time. When Jesus cursed that fig tree and they all moved on, that fig tree looked as good, as bushy, as vibrant as it did when they arrived. But for the second that Jesus spoke the words against that fig tree, something started to happen. The situation began to change. And that's what the Lord wants me to share with you today. You look at the situation, you speak into that situation. I see a sword over you. That's the word of the Lord. So you speak the word of the Lord into the situation and you will see the fruit of change. See, we get this thing. We have to be careful what we say. We speak a lot of rubbish a lot of time, even though we're God's people. You say things like, I don't like change. Well, listen, the Bible says that we're being transformed. That is change, by the way. Transformed. Come on, we need to be transformed more and more like him. Hello. That's constant change happening. So don't speak against it. I don't like change. Come on. It's because we do them things because in that instant we're walking by sight when we should be walking by faith. Now the Lord's just getting that for a reason. So when you look and you speak something and you do not see an immediate change, you've got to be careful you don't sum that thing up by sight. Does it still hurt? Are the symptoms still there? Is the lack still evident? Do things appear exactly the same as before I said that? Do you understand? But if we step into walking from sight into walking by faith, we know, and it's essential that we're walking by faith, that when we speak into that situation, right then, it's now changing. It is now changing. By the power of the name of Jesus, it is changing. It might not look like it. It might not sound like it. It might not smell like it. It might not feel like it. The whole order, all the same, but it's happening. The Lord just wants to remind you of that this morning. It's happening. It is happening. And you see, so why did he kill the tree? Listen, it's been bugging me. Has it ever bugged you? I don't know. I spoke to the Lord and I said, Lord, why did you kill the tree? I still want, you know, all these revelations give me and I still want to know, but why did you kill the tree? I mean, I don't like the tree. I'm not interested in the tree and I don't want to eat a fig, but why did you kill it? And then driving here this morning, the Lord finally gives me a revelation. And I'm like, so don't bug me anymore. Hallelujah. Bless you. But I'm sure it's going to bug you. But anyway, but he told me and I'm so happy that he did. I feel so much better and lighter now. So, no, it's for me. I asked him. You've got to ask him yourself. Hallelujah. So, you got to do this, okay? So how many people are ready to do that? You speak into your situation, believing, totally believing, because of the revelation you just heard this morning, that the moment you declare it, the moment you speak it, it is now happening. And the only thing you are waiting for is to see, hear, touch, feel, smell, whatever, the confirmation that it's changed, that it's dead, that it's altered, that it's never going to be the same again. And I'm like, Lord, why did you kill the tree? Bugging me it was. But he knows those things. And so he told me why he killed the tree. I'm so happy now. Hallelujah. It was driving me nuts. Now, he goes on to say this, and I might tell you the answer later. It says on my iPad here. That's too funny. Hallelujah. Anyway, here's one of the reasons, okay? This is because I wrote this and then he's told me that I've got on here. Why did he kill the tree? And here it is. To teach us, to teach us the teachings of verses 22 to 24. That's why he killed the tree. To give us the teachings of verses 22 to 24, that's why he killed the tree. And when I was driving here, I'll tell you now. When I was driving here, the Lord said to me, I sacrificed the tree. I did not kill it. I do not kill things. I sacrificed the tree. And then he said to me, I sacrificed it. And I think, you sacrificed a tree. I wonder where it is now, what's happening now, and so on. Anyway, I won't tell you that one. But he was then reminding me, under the old covenant, of all the animals that were sacrificed. God has no problem sacrificing things. Do you understand that? So that he can do what he was doing. They would sacrifice an animal as an offering to cover their sin back under the old covenant. Okay, God wasn't, hey, put that pigeon down, step away, that's my creation. Whatever. Anyway, so he sacrificed, but he sacrificed that fig tree so that you and I could learn something that's paramount to our walk with God. Now, here it is. So it's for verses 20. 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, okay, so the disciples, Peter's like, wow, Jesus, look, that's the tree that you cursed. Look at it now. Look at it. Wow, it's withered from the roots. I mean, it's done for. Jesus says this. He answered them and he said, have faith in God. There you go. It's right there. What do we got to do? We got to have faith in God. The next time you have a situation you need to see change, number one, have faith in God.
We're normally paralyzed by what we see. Some of the things that we see are incredibly scary. Is this it? Is this the end? Is it finished? Am I done for? No. We have to have faith in God. Hallelujah. See, faith is a whole other message. I've got to be careful I don't get into it. I actually wrote a book on faith because I called it My Faith Works. Because people keep thinking they haven't got enough faith. Hello. It's because of all the bad sermons I've heard. But the Lord gave me, I was laying in bed one night. This is a massive testimony. I can't give it to you. I was laying in bed one night and the Lord spoke to me and he said, he took me to the passage where he said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." Do you remember? Because he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sing. And the Lord was talking to me. This is crazy. I know, it's totally crazy. So he said to me, you know, in the scripture where I said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." So I said, yeah. And he said, "My church think that I was telling Peter off for having a little faith." He said, "But I wasn't." And I'm laying there, like, blown away. Because that goes against everything I've ever read in any commentary. Hello. And here's Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, talking to me and telling me my church have misunderstood that. That I was not telling Peter off for having a little faith. I was identifying what it was that Peter had. And that Peter had a little faith and it was enough to get the job done. He was actually physically walking on the water. No problem at all. Why? Because he had a little faith. This is amazing. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to be preaching in about 7 hours. Now, if you want me to preach this, you're going to have to really help me. Because you know me, I believe you. But they're going to crucify me. You know, it's just... So... He starts, I said, can you give me some more scriptures? And he started giving me more scriptures. And he gave me that scripture, which we're looking at now. That you have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be up from here, cast into the sea, and it'll happen. So he began to let me realize, you know, we don't need much faith to see things happen. You understand that? Mustard seed, tiny little thing. We don't need a lot of faith. Then he blew me away with this. He said... And I, when somebody gets saved and they give their life to me, I immediately give them a measure of my faith. So here's the truth. We do not have any faith of our own. None. Any faith you and I carry in is because of the faith he's given to us. Do you understand? Now, everybody here has got the measure of faith. If you know Jesus, you've got it. And I'm telling you, you can do extraordinary things with that measure of faith. You can say to the mountain, we're told right here, to be cast into the sea and it's going to move. You can curse that victory. You can watch it die. You can go to that ill patient in hospital. Do you know what? You don't know me. I understand that. I don't know what this looks like. Sometimes I listen back and think, boy, you're really good. But, there was a guy, it wasn't part of our church or anything, but I knew of him. And he was in hospital. And I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw this guy was in hospital. And the Lord said to me, go and pray for him. Now, I didn't want to because I don't like hospitals. You know what I mean? And I'm not his pastor. I'm just being honest. You only catch me in a hospital because I was a pastor, I was paid, and I had to go. But I hated hospitals. I hate hospital visits and all that stuff, right? Because they're all sick in there. Do you know what I mean? It's not a good place to go. So the Lord says to me, as I'm going through Facebook, hello, we talk about the technology in it. The Lord says, go and pray for him. And I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to pray for him. I kept scrolling. Anyone ever done that? And I kept scrolling and saw, you know, what Betty was cooking in her kitchen. So all of a sudden, like 2 days later, this guy sends me a message. And he asks me if I'll pray for him. It's like, now what do you do? But you see, my response was one of, yeah, I'll come pray for you, because I hadn't forgotten the Lord had told me to go and pray for him. So anyway, this won't impress you. I appreciate that. But I went to the hospital, and I arranged to meet him in the chapel. Not chapel of rest, you understand, but the hospital chapel. And I didn't want to go on the ward. I don't like hospitals. So some porter wheeled him down, brought him down in the lift from the ward, whatever, brought him into the chapel. There's a whole massive story there that I won't go into. But anyway, wheels him into the chapel. And all I know is this, is that I'm there for one reason and one reason only. I didn't take him chocolates. I didn't take him a bottle of anything. I didn't take him any grapes. I mean, I wasn't there for any of that stuff.
I wasn't there to do any pastoral visit. I never had a card. I wasn't going to put, you know, read a psalm gently to him. I wasn't going to put some background music on and do a little dance. Nothing at all. You understand? I knew I was there for one reason and one reason only, and that's because he needed to get healed. They'd done an operation on him and it had gone wrong, and now he couldn't walk. So they put him in the wheelchair. And then the hospital chaplain, the guy had already asked the hospital chaplain, look, this pastor's going to come and pray for me. Is it okay if we don't? So as he arrives, we go into the hospital chapel, and I'm greeted by this chaplain who says to me, now, he said, we share this with the Muslims. And he said, you know, you can't make any noise or cause any disruptions in here. You can't even talk in here, really. Well, that means absolutely nothing to me. I just want you to know that. Does to you, all that stuff, whatever. But doesn't mean anything to me. Load of old nonsense. So he leaves, and now we got this chapel thing. Now, there's a Muslim at the back doing what he does on his prayer mat. Now, all of a sudden, he gets up and leaves, so now the whole place is empty. So I get this guy, and I need you to hear this. I pulled him out the wheelchair immediately with the name of Jesus. And he stood up. And I then said to him, come with me. I had his hand, both his hands, because I didn't have a microphone at the time. I had both his hands, and I walked backwards, and he started walking as I commanded his feet. I told his feet what they were going to do. Anyway, the guy says to me, they're never going to believe me back on the ward. They're just never going to believe me. So anyway, the guy gets healed. And somebody came in and sat in the chapel. And you just never know who's who, do you? And it came in and sat in a chapel, and I'm being loud, okay? I'm commanding that this guy's going to walk. I'm making this thing happen because the Lord told me, go and pray for him. He's going to get healed. I didn't go and pray for him so he'd die. Hello? So I know my expectations were off the chart that it's going to happen. So I look over, and there's this guy sat there, and I'm thinking, because you do that. As I'm looking, I'm thinking, what is this guy thinking? I mean, he's witnessed this. I've pulled this guy out of the wheelchair in the name of Jesus. He is walking. And this guy's telling me they'll never believe this back on the wall. And that guy's right there about 3 or 4 rows back. He's hearing every word. And he's just dressed in there. And he was like a visitor. And while I'm praying, he's got his hands in the air like this. And I'm taken by this guy. I'm just watching. And all I could keep thinking was this. I wonder if he's an angel. Do you understand? Because the Muslims were using that room, and I believe there was a divine protection that came down. There was a divine encounter that happened. Anyway, this guy gets totally healed, by the way. So he goes back up on the ward. A couple of days later, he's discharged in the hospital, and then he comes around our house, and we go for a walk together. Do you understand? There is a level beyond. You can cut, break off all your theology, break off all your limitations. If you're not free indeed, you're not doing the kingdom stuff. So you've got to get somewhere. But, you know, pull them out of the wheelchairs. Seriously, pull them out of the wheelchair. It's not down. The results are not down to you. They're down to God. Pull them out of the wheelchairs. Kick their crutches away. I mean, seriously, you've got to, if you want to see God move, you've got to be radical in it. What's it say? Jesus said there, the first thing he said was, have faith in God. Now, you see, I have the revelation, which I've now shared with you. Do I have faith in God? Yes. Why? Because when I gave my life to him, he gave me a measure of his faith. Is there ever a time that I don't have enough faith? None whatsoever. That measure does not come and go or rise up and down. It's either active or it's inactive. When Jesus said, will I find any faith on the earth when I come? What he was talking about was activated faith. In other words, God's people using it. Like I saw you using it here. Do you understand? There is only one level different to the measure of faith that we've all got. And that's called the gift of faith. Most people don't need the gift of faith because they're not even operating in the measure of faith. Now, somebody pointed out to me, you don't know me, but they pointed out that God has given you the gift of faith. Because I do radical things off the charts. And I want to encourage you. This is what this is about. Start believing for the impossible. Start declaring it and have faith in God, knowing that he's put his faith in you. You cannot fail. This cannot go wrong. It cannot draw the wrong conclusion because you have no faith of your own whatsoever. It's so sad when people, I hear Christians saying, oh, I don't have enough faith. I think you've just been lied to.
But you see, that's sermon after sermon after sermon of like, oh, Jesus rebuked Peter. Oh, you're a little faith. Oh, so I don't have enough. But one revelation. Do you understand? Not a sermon. One revelation. Laying in my bed at night. One revelation. The Lord speaks to me and says, my church have got it wrong. I was not telling Peter off. I was identifying what he had. Do you understand how powerful that is? So now I don't operate when I'm praying for people from a kind of, oh, have I got the faith for this? Do you see the difference? I have an aggressive mentality of, oh, I can fix that in Jesus' name. It's time to be radical. Great exploits. I'm not just thinking about them, I'm doing them. Because it's all possible. It's the will of God. So look what Jesus said. Here we go. This is what he said. So number one here, have faith in God. Okay, verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did you hear that? You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. You know, one of the things I've been doing recently, and I just shared this with our youngest daughter, and she was in the car with me the other day. She's 16 years old and launching out. She takes after her dad, launching out with her own business. Hallelujah. So I was telling her a testimony of what I've been doing, okay? Because I can literally make things happen. We've gone quiet on me. But because of the revelations I've received, I've packaged them and put them into practice, and I can make things happen, literally make things happen. It would blow your mind if I told you, so I can't tell you. But I can literally make things happen. I can make situations change. I'm experimenting with this right now. I'm playing with it. But I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It is. Because the Lord gave me this experience, and I realized I'm stepping in and out of the natural realm. Do you understand that? There are moments where I literally have more of me in the spiritual realm than I do in the natural realm. And it's like cause and effect. I'm pulling things from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Because most of us don't know how to receive. I've learned in how to go and get it. That was just too deep. I shared with my daughter, I said, right, this is what you need to do as you launch your business. And I shared with her what I'm doing. And she said, okay, Dad. And then you know, she's an amazing young lady, and she's got a YouTube channel. She's got followers all over the world. She had the Voice in America contact her and invited her to go on their television show in America. And she sings, composes music and all that, has done since she was like this high. She's only 16 now. So I was telling her, right, it's okay. You got a calling on your life to do that. You got an anointing on your life to do that. So now you're going to do it. So you don't ever, she's never deviated. She knows what she wants to do. She set up a business to bring the money in. Hello? Because she's got to make money. We all have to make money. Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. She likes a curry with her dad. Hallelujah. So she set up her business, but it's not really the thing. It's not a calling. It's not, do you understand? So I was teaching her. Now, fame is going to come with what you're going to do. Success is going to come with what you're going to do. Great wealth is going to come in what you're going to do. You see, and I'm passing this on to the next generation. And I taught how to make it happen, literally make it happen. And she grabbed it. She received the word that I shared with her. And I believe she's already doing this, and I've not seen her since. But I believe she's doing it, and it will cause a change. You can make things happen. How many people believe me right now that you, as a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are capable of making things happen that causing a change? And if you say no, then you're an idiot. Hello? You're just an ignorant wally. Why? Because Jesus said it. I just read it to you. Do you understand? He just said it here. He said, if you have faith in God, how many people here got faith in God? We all have. Why? When we gave our lives to Jesus, he gave us a measure of faith. Hallelujah. So we got faith in God. Ticket. We've done that. Yeah, got it. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says, who can speak? Anyone speak here? That's all we got to do. Speak, speak, speak. You need more? Here's more. In Revelation, you do the creation account. Okay, it was Jesus that spoke, by the way. Only he wasn't known as Jesus back then. That revelation matters, by the way.
Nobody in heaven knew Jesus back then as Jesus. He was known as the Word. Okay. So it says, and the Word spoke, let there be. And the Holy Spirit moved. And it happened. And the Word declared, it is good. Do you understand? We're not doing anything other than what we're meant to be doing. In fact, we're doing what we're not meant to be doing because we're not doing it. You can cause the change. You can make it happen. You can literally alter your world and change your circumstances. This is not a prosperity message. This is a revelation message on how to make it happen. And start speaking. You literally start speaking it. You declare it. And it happens. I said to my daughter, I needed some money, so I was calling in money. That's okay, by the way. Hello? Because I'm not dependent on this world for my finances. Hello? All my riches are in heaven with Christ Jesus. So I just call them down when I need them. Hallelujah. Have I lost anyone now? Some are going, oh, this is prosperity stuff. Listen, do you not want to prosper? You want to be in poverty? I've had to stop. I did this. I had to stop. I was driving. I ran a business. I was driving to my first appointment, and I did it. Do you want me? I tell you what. Let's go off of Facebook, because this is for you guys. Come off of Facebook. I'm going to teach you something. Okay? This is not for Facebook. Do you understand? This is for you guys. This is a now word for you guys. Hallelujah. And I'm going to teach you what I do. Okay? So you can make it happen. Because I don't believe in any of this, giving people a little taste and disappearing on them so that they can't do it. Hello. So you want to know what I do in the car that changes things? No. Stuff it in. Put it back on Facebook. This is what. Okay? I needed money. I had 3 appointments that day. Run my own business. So I go to my first appointment. I'm driving now, half an hour drive. And I realize it. I got some bills to pay. I got some stuff to do. And I went, okay, I knew what I got to do. Now, a lot of people pray at that moment. That's your first mistake. You understand that? Oh, dear Lord, it's me again. I'm sorry to trouble you. I'm sure you're awfully busy with all the wars going on and Donald Trump doing his thing and all this kind of thing. By the way, I like Donald Trump. Sorry if that offends you. I think we need one of those in number 10, but there you go. I'm just saying, you shouldn't do politics in the pulpit. Whoops, I just did. But we need a change, don't we? Hallelujah, we can make it happen, believe it or not. So I'm driving to the appointment. I need some money. So this is what I do, okay? I do not pray. Write it down. He didn't pray. This is what I did. I declared, according to the scripture. And this, I'm saying this to help you, not for boasting, not for any other reason. So I do this. I'm driving the car, okay? I say, wealth, come to me right now. From the north, the east, the south, and the west, I call money, I call wealth to come to me right now in Jesus' name. That's all I did. Did I pray? No, I declared. I put the scriptures into practice. So I get to my first call, and I get there, and I'm greeted by this lady. And she says, you're taking this away today, aren't you? She said, we already agreed the price, and blah, blah, blah. I knew nothing about this. You understand? And I come out there, and I got £300 I never had when I went in. And I thought I was going there for £65. I want you to, is it okay if I share this with you? So I leave there, £300. I'm like, this is brilliant. And I now know, you get to the point where you know this works because it happened. So I'm not stupid. I'm driving to the next court. And when I get there, lady's not in. She texts me, running 10 minutes late. So I'm sat in the driveway. So I'm thinking, should I do it again? Let me go, yeah. So I said, wealth! Come to me right now from the north, the east, the south, and the west. I command you to come in Jesus' name. See, some people have got problems with like where it's coming from. I have no problems where it's coming from whatsoever. You understand? Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for me. Okay? I could tell you, you can see why my meetings go so long. I've got so many testimonies because things keep happening. The first mission trip Helen and I did in America, we went there. We had no money, okay? We went there on drug money. Do you understand? We went there on drug money. Listen, the wealth of the wicked belongs to the righteous. We went on a mission trip through drug money.
I don't care where it comes from. Understand? It's money. Hello? It's our right. We're meant to have it. So it's an interesting walk when you know him and you believe him when this happens to you. So what was I talking about? I'll talk about it later. What was I talking about? So I go into the next house and I come out there and I've got a lot of money. You understand? So I get to the, I'm going to the last call now. I arrive there and I came out of there with another 500 quid. I got home. I had 900 pound. Now listen, it doesn't matter if you like me or not anyway. I never leave for work before 9:30. Okay, I'm not a morning person. And I like a full English if I can get one. I'm just being, okay? I'm self-employed. I run my own businesses. So I let all the rush hour go, all the traffic go, all the stress go, and then I go out. I'm always back home between 1 and 1:30 at the latest. Did you hear that? Understand that? So I have no aggravation, traffic problems or anything coming back home. And I like being at home because I have a nice house. We have a nice house. You'll never believe how we got this house, and I do not have time to tell you. But it's way beyond. When tradesmen come to our house, I know they're going to try and jack the bill up because they think we're loaded. Seriously. So I have to explain to them, look, don't go jacking the bill up. I'm not stupid. I tell them to their face, right? You give me a fair price, and I'll give you the job. You try and rip me off, you'll never see me again. I'll do things to you like you wouldn't. But anyway, but so I'm an Essex boy, you know. So back home. So I got 900 quid working them hours. Okay, there's people here probably earning way more money than that. That's fine. But I'm trying to get you to see. Do you know what business that is that I was doing? Right? This is a trade I learned when I was 16 years old. I'm a piano tuner. Earning 900 quid on free calls that should be £65 each. Do you hear me? As a piano tuner. Do you understand that is not possible? And I do it all the time. All the time. Because I'm calling it in. It's literally happening. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when we left the ministry, we had debt. We had credit cards stacked up and all sorts. And we left in March, and I wiped it all out. It's gone. Paid the whole lot back. It's done. We're now in front instead of behind. That's why we've gone off of Facebook. It's none of their business. But I'm sharing this with you because you're before me, and I want you to be blessed. I want you to activate this scripture and step into the kingdom and never look back again. You can change your circumstances. Do you understand? I'm not saying God can change. I'm saying you can change this. Because right here in the Bible, Jesus is telling us how to do it. We have to do something. We have to talk to the mountain. We have to talk to the problem. We have to talk to the lack. We have to talk to the attack. Whatever it is. Because we have the power to change things. He's given it to us. Right there in Genesis, he gave us dominion of all the creation. Everything the word spoke, he announced it was good. Until he made us. When he made us, he never said that we were good. Have you ever read that? He said, it is very good. Now you've got to start. See, the biggest crisis in the church right now, number one is I won't let the Holy Spirit in most places. And he's the teacher. That's why no one knows anything. It's true. Second biggest problem in the church is us. We're a product of what we haven't been told. So most Christians are in an identity crisis. We got children in our schools and that now. They're being taught a whole load of rubbish. They've been taught about alternative lifestyles. So it's fine, it's acceptable, and you know, you can do this, you can do that. They're taught all the other religions as fact. And do you understand this? That's, by the way, that's all a product of the church banging out sermons. But you get an L word. Everything can change. And this is an hour word for you guys this morning. I have never declared this word before in any other church. I got it for you guys. And when they asked me last night, do you have anything? I said, absolutely nothing. Okay? Because you can change it. So I did that. So I need you to understand this. I am now earning thousands, not hundreds, and not even 65 quid. I'm earning thousands as a one-man band. Who doesn't go out until 9:30 and he's always back by 1:30 at the latest. Because I'm calling it in. And it works.
Now, how many people are going to now make a decision? I'm going to start causing change in my life. I'm going to. If it works, listen. God is no respecter of persons. If He's doing it for Him, He'll do it for me. How many people believe that? Now you can start the change. Now you can do this with anything. We got three daughters. They've all got boyfriends and so on. They're not all saved. And well, one of them's not saved. The other one just got saved. Okay, didn't go to church, didn't go near a church. We were sharing with your pastors last night. He just had God all over him. And my daughter said, he asked her about God because he knew she believed. Isn't that amazing? So she led him to Christ right there at his house. Never been to a church. No interest. No. But he wanted to know about who is this God, right? So, of course, my daughter being my daughter, she leads him to the Lord and she says, right, now what you want to do is speak in tongues, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And like he's trying and he can't. This is so funny, isn't it? It's happened so many times. He's trying and he can't do it. Then you got all your theologians saying, oh, try saying banana backwards. Anyways, so my daughter leaves. She leaves and comes back home that evening. And when she gets home, she got a text message from him. I just tried that tongues thing again, and I can do it now. Do you understand? We got to learn just to let God be God. He'd do it. But what we say matters. We can change it. We can see the circumstances change. We can alter the circumstances. Now I'm calling things. I said to my daughter, now you call the success of your business to come. You call your clients to come. You call it in. Your whole pop star thing, I really believe it's going to happen. Now you call in the fame. You call in the favor right now. Come on. You can make it happen. Not according to Robert King, but according to the revelation you just heard through the scripture. Have faith in God. Done. He gave me it when I gave my life to Him. I have at least a measure of faith, and it is enough to move any mountain. But we are not moving the mountains. But we need to move the mountains. Move these things. Circumstances in your life, health scares, all these things, when they come at you, a lot of it is how you respond to it. Do you understand? How you respond to it. And that's why we need each other, by the way. We need each other. Because in their moments when the attacks come and we get a bit down and we get a bit low and we feel like giving up and everything, and somebody else just to come and just to lay hands on you and just give you those edification and build you back up and anyway, whatever. We've probably gone on way too long. I just got a lot to say, so I'll finish. But I hope that blessed you. And if it changes your life, that's wonderful. Seriously, that's wonderful. Do not be a doormat in the church. Be one on the front lines, knowing the violent take heaven by storm. You know, smash up the flowers. Knock over the vase. What is it really about? It's going to change, it's going to change, it's going to change. Anyway, I am done, but I just wanted to just check to see if I was as done as I thought I was. Yeah. But remember that, just to recap on that one, because I wrote it down. When you speak, and it can appear that absolutely nothing has happened. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. When you speak it, it's happening. Just believe it, and you'll see the fruit. To God be the glory. Amen and amen.